Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. I know I am. You should be too. Tomorrow, football's back, right? That's like the big thing. Wednesdays are weird. Like, we can pay attention to baseball. Dan Byer will get us more updates. You just heard that the Rays lead the Blue Jays. Why is that important? Well, because the Blue Jays have they're one game ahead of the Yankees in the loss column, and the Yankees and the Blue Jays have a series coming up, as well as the Yankees and the Red Sox have a series coming up, and they're all fighting for two spots. As of now, the Red Sox are in pretty good shape, right? Pretty good shape. Where the Red Sox, they do have those last three games of the year coming up against the Yankees, against Washington, but they have three against Baltimore, three against Washington, and they just swept Baltimore and they beat the Mets last night. It feels like they're a couple away from, regardless of that Yankees series, this thing getting put to bed where they're going to win the wild card or going to get into the wild card game. And then it's just a question of who joins them, Yankees or Toronto. Toronto losing today would change things dramatically. Let's get to Daniel Jeremiah, who joins us. Of course, you can hear him on the Chargers broadcast. You can listen to him on Move the Sticks as the podcast. You can watch that podcast or watch him on the NFL Network. He's kind enough to spend some time with us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show. I want to get to Cowboys, Chargers. You called that game, obviously, for the Chargers Radio Network. But Monday night, we saw Baltimore, an organization used to work for, and it felt like, maybe this is just me, it felt like a change for Baltimore. And maybe it was because Kansas City couldn't stop the run, but usually you get down 11 late and you're going to spread it out and start throwing. They stuck with what they always do and who they actually are, and it worked for them. Is that how they've been doing it, or was that an actual change we saw Sunday night, DJ?
Well, I think you're right on in terms of them sticking with the run game, which is which gave them the best opportunity to come back and win that football game. I would say, you know, when you've got the tight ends all healthy, which they don't right now, I think that allows them to kind of have their cake and eat it too, where they can in those situations, even when they'd be throwing the ball, it still felt different. You know, they got heavy personnel out there. They're mixing in the run, and then they can sneak one of those tight ends by you. But last week, I thought without having those healthy tight ends in week one, they tried spreading people out and trying to get outside of themselves a little bit. So this week, I thought they went back to doing what they've traditionally done when they've had success.
Was it alarming at all, Kansas City's inability to put that game away?
I just think it's who they are. I mean, we've seen them, we've seen them play those types of games. I equate it this way. You know, oftentimes we'll use the kind of the cliche of, you know, you got to be able to win, you know, different styles of fights to go win a championship. You know, sometimes there's going to be shootouts. Other times you're going to find yourself in a low scoring game. Like they have one club in their bag, and that is they're going to win high scoring games. Like, and they're really, really good at it. And I thought the only reason that they really lost that game, if to be honest, is they were a little bit nervous about that defense having Lamar back out on the field, so they almost was like they were trying to slow themselves down to run the ball and not score too fast. And I don't think you'll see, you know, Andy Reid make that mistake again. I think they'll just go get the points and take their chances with their defense. But all their games are going to be like that. I think I anticipate it being like that this week with the Chargers. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. The challenge with going up against Kansas City is, like, if you can't score 30 points, you don't have a shot. So that's where it starts.
Okay, let me ask you about the Chargers. They took on the Cowboys. I heard Cowherd on Monday. It's like, oh, you know, poor Justin Herbert. Like, they didn't give up a touchdown after the first quarter. Thought the defense played pretty well. Offensively, a lot of miscues, especially in the red area. Herbert threw an interception. Now, was that his fault or Keenan Allen fell down? Like, what happened on the interception?
Yeah, Keenan fell down, but I think it was a ball that was still going to be forced and looked like it was going to sail a little bit into some high traffic. So, you know, look, one thing I'll say about Justin is he plays with no fear. I mean, that ball that he threw to Eckler, he had no business. Really, nobody has any business throwing that ball, and somehow he was able to squeeze it in. Eckler made an incredible one-hand catch. But I'm okay with my quarterback being a little bit aggressive, maybe even early in the season. You kind of rein that in a little bit. I'd much rather have that than somebody just checking the ball down and being cautious. They just got to clean up, you know, the red zone turnovers and the penalties, man. The penalties were a killer in that game. I took almost 100 yards off the board when you had plays wiped out by penalties. So their areas of improvement are very easy to identify. And the good news for the Chargers is they're fixable. You know, penalties and turnovers can be fixed.
Yeah, got to fix the right side of the line. That's hard with Bulaga out. And they got to stop the run. Okay, so Cowboys.
You know what's interesting on that, though? Real quick, Doug, because you just brought up a good point. Because I left that stadium, and I thought, you know what? They let the Cowboys kind of run all over them. The Cowboys rushed for 195 yards. And then I started thinking, well, wait a second. Is this me and Doug living in the 90s where people cared about rushing yards? Or do we need to be in year 2021 where it's all about points? And when you hold the Dallas Cowboys to 20 points with that offense, then you did your job.
And honestly, and the 17, 18, 19, 20 were a 56-yard field goal. It wasn't like they kicked a 25-yarder to win the game. They struggled to move the ball, and it's a great point. It's like one of those, like, you ran the ball, but you didn't accomplish all that much. Okay, you've seen the Cowboys in person. What are your impressions?
I thought Dak was really good. You know, one of the things that they do that I find kind of fascinating is Kellen Moore, you know, he's creative as a play caller. I thought he was creative with their tempo. And, you know, there's some teams that do a really good job that's very few, where normally it's either you're at hyper speed, right? We're no huddle, we're on the ball, we're going. Or we're huddling up, the play clock gets down to 5, and they snap the ball. They've become really unpredictable, and it's hard to get into a rhythm defensively when they're snapping the ball with 15 seconds on the play clock. Then the next time is they're snapping it with 2 seconds. Then they're snapping it with 20 seconds. Like they vary their tempo of how they play. And so even as like a pass rusher, you're Joey Bosa, you don't know when I put my hand on the ground, is the ball going to be snapped, you know, in 2 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds? You know, it is – hard to, you just kind of know it when you see it, but it is very creative how they're doing that.
Okay, let's get to Mac Jones. Two games in, where are you on Mac Jones?
I think he's kind of been as advertised. You know, they don't ask him to do a ton. He gets the ball out of his hands. He makes good decisions. If it requires, you know, taking a sack versus trying to make a big throw, he's going to take the sack and live to, you know, play another down. They're not dynamic, but I think this is a high floor, low ceiling brand of football. If that makes any sense, you know, I think this style of play is going to 100% get the New England Patriots into the playoffs, and I just don't know that this style of play is going to get them to the finish line.
Fair, that's fair. What's wrong with Tennessee?
Well, what was wrong with them week one, and then. Week two, it looked like they were back to their old selves, you know, with Derrick Henry going off and Julio gets 100 yards. Tannehill played pretty well. I think this year, maybe more so than any other, we're going to have to get to four games in to really know what these teams are. Because I can't remember a year where through 2 weeks we've seen more Jekyll Hyde, you know, polar opposite performances. So I don't know exactly what you have with the Titans, but I know I'd be a lot more encouraged by what I saw in week two versus week one.
Okay, but we did see the Raiders, and again, like if we were going to do the what have you actually done, I don't know how good Pittsburgh actually is, but to beat Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh and to beat the Ravens at home, those are two good wins, two respected. What's your level of buy-in to the Raiders now that you've seen them win two games?
Well, I'm encouraged. You know, their fans sure do let me know that I picked them to lose their first two games, that's for sure. But this is a league that's, and we've been talking about this for years, this is a league based on quarterback play and pass rush. And if you want to find the good teams, they're usually pretty good in both those areas. And I think Derek's playing as good as he's ever played. I think he's very, very comfortable in the system with Gruden. I think they're playing a real attacking brand of football, a lot of vertical stuff. And that's fun to watch. And then defensively, you know, with Ngakoue and Max Crosby and company, they can rush the passer. And so that's – Yeah, that's the way you play football. That's the way you win games in 2021, and that would be encouraging to me that your quarterback's playing as good as we've seen, and this is the best Raider pass rush we've seen in a long, long time.
Tua obviously got hurt, but he didn't play well in week one. They did win, and then, you know, it was very early on, but not playing well. Now he's hurt again. Granted, not his fault he broke some ribs, but part of what everyone had told me was, like, look, the thing about him getting hurt a couple times in college was guys caught him. Right, if they catch you in college, they're definitely going to catch you in the NFL. What's your level of concern with Tua now that you've seen him play and he's gotten hurt again?
Yeah, my level of concern would probably be more with what I've seen from his play than from his, you know, inability to stay healthy. I just haven't seen a lot of dynamic things from him. I haven't seen the same type of twitch that we saw at Alabama, and maybe that injury took more of a toll than we thought, but I haven't seen that, and just to me it's just how quickly can I get the ball out of my hand is what it looks like when you're watching it, instead of really trying to survey and find opportunities. I don't think Mike Gesicki had a catch in their first game, and that's a mismatched tight end. Like, you got to be a little bit more aggressive, try and get him the football, force the ball a little bit.
I don't remember having a target, let alone a catch.
Yeah, he might not have. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. When you've got a big weapon like that, tight ends, usually you're going to be working in the middle of the field, which means you can't be crowd averse. You got to be able to, you got to be selective with it. I mentioned Herbert, was a little bit over-aggressive to the one to Keenan Allen. But there's times where, hey, if you've got one-on-one and you've got your guy, you got to give him a chance. And just haven't seen a lot of that from Tua.
Aaron Rodgers, they were down at the half to the Lions, but of course you end up throwing some dimes and getting some stops in the second half, and now he's calling out trolls or calling out JerMichael Finley or calling out Bill Cowher. What do you think of the Packers now that you've seen him successful, albeit over the Lions?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really put a lot of stock into what you do against the Detroit Lions, so I'm going to reserve judgment on that one. But it was nice to see that Aaron, you can highlight the big-time throws, the impressive throws that he made, but he got back to just making some of the simpler throws that he missed in the first week. So, he's crazy talented. That's not everybody knows that. But I'm still, from a team standpoint, let's not judge too much off of the Lions game.
Tend to agree with you there, right? It is, in fact, the Lions. It's hard to understand. Okay, so let's look at that Niner-Packer game. Of course, 2 years ago, anytime they come to California or Florida, they've laid an egg.
It doesn't go well. Yeah.
No. And the style, look, they weren't getting any pressure on the passer against the Lions. Now you're going against San Francisco. We know how they love to run the football, and their defense is nasty. What do you think of that game upcoming this weekend?
Well, I've said this about the Packers for the last several years is I believe in them up until they find themselves in a street fight. And it seems like every time they face one of those uber physical teams, they get pushed around. And the 49ers was the greatest example of that on their way to the Super Bowl that year. Well, I don't think how many passes did Garoppolo throw in that game? Like six. There you go. So to me, this is week three. You don't want to make it more than it is, but I want to see how the Packers stand up when they really, really get a physical group coming at them. And, Elton Jenkins has played really well in for Bakhtiari, but Nick Bosa that's a different bird now. That's a different challenge. So it's going to be a fun one.
It's going to definitely be a fun one. Tampa gave up a lot of points to Atlanta. Do we look anything more? I mean, the back end of their defense is not great, but as you point out, it's a quarterback and pass rush league. They can rush the pass, and they do have an excellent quarterback.
Yeah, and they've had some injuries. And, that was Atlanta. I thought the game was in pretty good shape there, and then Atlanta came back on them. But, those are classic games with a team that's coming off of a Super Bowl. You could say maybe a little bit of boredom creeps in, and then they can put them away. So, again, they have championship pieces. The defensive line's better than it was last year with adding Joe Tryon to that mix and Vita Vea hopefully staying healthy for a full 17 games. So they're built for another really, really extended run here, and a couple injuries in the secondary here or there, I'm not too worried about the Bucs.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us, NFL Network. Of course, you lead their NFL draft coverage. You're high on Zach Wilson. He throws four picks. Are his issues fixable?
Well, yeah. I mean, he can do everything you need to do, all the talent in the world. But, you know, they've got to surround him with some help. And, you know, he's just got to make better decisions. I laughed a little bit because I was here. I'm at the Charger game, getting ready to call the Cowboy game, and everything on social media. I can't see the Jets game at the time. I'm just seeing these, you know, the picks one after another, and they're getting clobbered. And people have Zach Wilson, you know, dead and buried and labeled a bust. And I'm sitting here thinking of two different things. I'm thinking of, well, you know what, Sam Darnold got some better pieces around him, and all of a sudden he's turned into a pretty good player. And I'm getting ready to watch Justin Herbert, who's coming off the greatest rookie season of all time. And in his meeting with Bill Belichick last year, the Patriots won 45-0 and threw two picks. Like, Bill Belichick's been chewing up and spitting out rookie quarterbacks for two decades.
Yeah, the guy's kind of decent at what he does. He seems to have a future in the business. That's what he seems to have.
He's not bad.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's not bad. So do you. You okay with the Padres not even making the wild card? You okay? Do you want a hug?
Oh, man. I think I told you this before, but I stopped watching their games probably once training camp started. So I have 10 seconds of misery looking at the box score in the morning as opposed to 3 hours of misery of watching them play. So the end of the baseball season can't get here fast enough, and I change my allegiance, as I always do this time of year, to ABD, anybody but Dodgers.
Anybody but the Dodgers. Okay.
That's it.
Okay. So have you picked a team? By the way, I need you
something.
Ever the leader, Manny Machado, by the way, with the Fernando Tatis deal in the dugout.
I thought Manny was fine. He was in the right there. Fernando needed to let that go. But my two favorite teams in Major League Baseball are the Padres and whoever's playing the Dodgers that night.
Yeah,
that's it.
I gotcha. All right, listen.
How's your knee, by the way, before we roll?
Good. 6 weeks out. I mean, I went to the doctor yesterday. He was like, I must have made you the bionic man because you look great. You know, I got some thigh muscles back. I'm going to PT 2-3 days a week. That's working out well. I've upgraded from doing... I do calf raises, I do leg raises, we do the stim. I started doing a step up on the boxes yesterday.
Nice.
We're getting there. Nothing lateral, a little lateral. Yeah, actually, yesterday we did a little lateral with the band around the top of my knees, you know, and then doing a little lateral movement. That seemed fine. Like, and I have really no pain, occasionally just a little swelling in the morning. It's a little stiff, but outside of that, I mean, I'm also in my 40s, so I'm generally a little stiff in the morning. It's not that much different.
Don't let the scar tissue breaking up scare you, because there's going to come a moment where you're going to slip a little bit and you're going to feel a little crunch and it's going to freak you out. Just know that it's okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one. I didn't know that one. She my PT like breaks up the scar tissue with her thumb or whatever. Trust me, this still hurt, but it'll help you. That's what I've.
Yeah,
it reminds me of when my parents spanked me. This will hurt you more, hurt me more than it hurts you. No, it actually hurts me a little bit. Hurts me a little more. Have you watched, how much college have you been in? Are you able to watch the college stuff?
Yeah, I haven't watched a ton of tape yet. I've just done some, watched a lot of TV. I started digging in a little bit on Alabama's defense, and it was quite overwhelming because you got to watch like all their guys because they're all NFL guys. So I'm working my way there.
Did you watch Fresno State UCLA last Saturday?
I did not see any of that. I did see Jackson Dart put on a show for USC. West Coast football is very unpredictable right now.
It's completely unpredictable. But, dude, the kid, Jake Hayner, you got to watch the tape and tell me what you thought. I mean,
I'll do it.
I mean, he took a beating. He's back there like, he's like holding his hip, his back, you know, but he's throwing dimes. I mean, you know, over the, just over the linebacker, you know, past the marker, right on the sideline, right to an open wide receiver, like marching down the field for a couple of scores at the end of the game. He was awesome. I got to see you break him down for me next when we talk next. Okay.
I got you, Doug. No problem.
All right, you're the man. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, brother. Bye.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Armando Salguero is going to join us in a moment. Senior NFL writer for Outkick. Of course, for years he's worked in Miami, local newspaper, and you've heard him on radio there as well. We're celebrating our new affiliate, 940 AM in Miami, home of the Marlins and the Gators. And I thought, like, look, this is some interesting stuff with Tua. Obviously, the lingering story about Deshaun Watson being out there. We'll get to that kind of momentarily. Plus, we got the press to get to. Let's find a score. Let's get a score update. I think that's gone final between Toronto and the Rays. Is that thing gone final yet?
No. The Jays maybe wish it was, because they were down 7-1 right now in the bottom of the sixth inning, Doug. The Rays' magic number to clinch the AL East was 5 at the start of the day, so it could be trimmed down to 4. Jays, though, playing for their playoff lives. They are right now a half game up on the Yankees for the final playoff spot, for that final wild card spot in the American League. But if they lose this game, then they will be tied with New York. Austin Meadows, a 3-run home run. Reds and Pirates were postponed today. The Reds did give manager David Bell a 2-year extension that goes through the 2023 season. White Sox and Tigers also postponed in Detroit. Minnesota Timberwolves have fired president of basketball operations Gerson Rosas, as executive vice president Sachin Gupta will take over as president on an interim basis. Bears will start rookie quarterback Justin Fields in their Week 3 matchup against the Browns. Colts have not ruled out Carson Wentz for their game against Tennessee. He didn't practice today, though, because of his 2 sprained ankles. No practice for Ben Roethlisberger. That's not a surprise, but he does have that left pec injury. As for the other Steelers, no practice for wide receiver Deontay Johnson, and linebacker TJ Watt was limited with his groin injury. And as you said it, Doug, Jacoby Brissett's going to start under center for the Dolphins Week 3 against Las Vegas. That's because Tua Tagovailoa ruled out because of broken ribs. Back to you.
All right. Well, that's if that's not reason enough to get Armando Salguero on, I don't know what else is. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Of course, Derek Carr, who they're playing against, he's nursing an ankle injury as well. Armando, thanks so much for joining us, by the way. Welcome back to the program. You know this Dolphins organization as well as anybody. You've covered Miami sports for years. How do they really feel about Tua now, kind of a year and a half into their experience?
Well, Doug, I think that if you want the context of how they really feel, is they spent much of the summer talking to the Houston Texans about Deshaun Watson. And, you know, anyone would say if you have a quarterback that you're happy with, if you have a quarterback that you believe has a great future, for example, the Los Angeles Chargers, they have Justin Herbert, and they didn't talk to the Houston Texans about Deshaun Watson. They never touched base with the Houston Texans. So if you're that kind of team, you're not thinking about, a Deshaun Watson, who, by the way, has some significant legal issues and problems that he has to deal with, and that any team that would trade for him has to deal with. And yet the Dolphins, who have Tua Tagovailoa, which they drafted last year, number one, they were, if not the primary team trying to get him, certainly among the top two. So that in itself speaks for itself, in my estimation.
Okay, so in your mind, is it let's just get through the season and do whatever it takes to get Deshaun? Is that still the plan?
I think the plan is let's see what Tua can do. Let's play with an offense that hopefully that he can manage, which, by the way, got exposed in the early downs against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday before Tua got hurt. And at the end of the season, we'll see if he made a second-year leap like a lot of players do make, or if we got much of the same that we got the first year, in which case, clearly, they might have to turn to plan B.
Whatever happened with Will Fuller? Like, the Will Fuller story, again, this is more of a national, we're like, okay, he comes off suspension, then just kind of disappears. He eliminated all the Miami Dolphins stuff from his social media stuff. Then he reappears. Any idea what actually happened?
No idea. And I wish I could give you some inside story, but that is as mysterious as it has I've ever come across. What's weird is he spoke to the media last week, and then the next day he was no longer there. And obviously he missed the game against the Bills. And then the next day after that, he's back. So I can't even speculate on what the reasoning for him being excited about playing in a game because he missed the first game because of a suspension, and then suddenly, poof, he goes to the team.
It's as bizarre a story as I've seen the NFL in a while. Last thing, Armando, appreciate you joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Armando Salgado, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, All-Pro voter, senior NFL writer. You can read his work and Outkick the coverage. This is a team that had so much hope, even going last year, right? 10 wins, and he didn't have Tua. It felt like the city starting to buy into this rebuild is going to work. Is there that same energy? Because I'm following you on social media, how early they left, going back to last week. Is there that same energy in terms of hope this season with the Dolphins this early in the season?
Well, there was after the week one victory over the New England Patriots. But because it's the NFL and every game is a referendum on what's going on, you know, you lose 35-0 to the Buffalo Bills. And the last time that you played the Buffalo Bills, you lost by 30 points as well, with the playoffs riding as a stake. It starts to, you know, kind of paint a picture of maybe this rebuild isn't quite going exactly how we hoped, and maybe they're not the contender for a division title that they hope to be. That team is the one that put 35 on them and shut them out on Sunday. So people are starting to look at the Dolphins general manager Chris Greer a little sideways, because he has had a lot of resources, and yet the resources that he has had, especially the first round picks, you know, one of them, Noah Igbinoghene, has been inactive two consecutive weeks, can't get on the field. They have a not very good offensive line. One of those is the left tackle, who was a first round pick. Tua is, you know, came to the team with a durability question reputation, and he's missing this week's game because he's injured. And so you have a lot of guys that they drafted, but the problem is they're guys. None of them have really stepped forward and become stars.
Armando, great stuff, man. Love having you on. Can't wait to do it in the future. Thanks for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
Anytime, Doug.
All right, that's my man Armando Salgado. Okay, see, he writes now for Outkick the coverage, but Miami Herald for years. If you know Miami sports, you're like, oh, yeah, he's one of the guys that's covered it forever. Discover matches all the cash back you earn your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the place in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Look, here's my take on Tua Tagovailoa. Everyone told me how his level of football IQ, his balance in terms of his mental and emotional balance was great, blah, 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 blah. I haven't seen the big playability, and he doesn't seem like he has any feel for understanding complex blitz schemes. And the thing about him was he was supposedly a step and a half advanced over others intellectually because of he's studied to be a quarterback his whole life. Recognize coverage, deliver the ball on time, on target. Remember, it was tank for Tua going back 2 years ago. Now there's like a Josh Rosen element to him. All right, coming up next. Oh, go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just, if you were going to talk some Dolphins, it's just, I think it's interesting because, Doug, I was the opposite of you. And I know that you said on this program, if it's not right, you know, cut your losses and try to figure out a way to move on, whether it be in the offseason or whatever. And I have felt that the Dolphins should... they should give Tua time just because of how crazy last season was. Yeah. He was also coming off of that hip injury. Yeah. It was the fifth overall pick in the draft. I mean, I know Rosen was 10th, but still, it's top five pick. Do you really want to move on that quickly? What this last weekend showed me though, was this team isn't as good. As Armando said, the Dolphins, we thought were a playoff contender last year. But you lose 35-0 to the Dolphins isn't because Tua wasn't, or to the Bills, isn't because Tua wasn't playing. It's the team around him that maybe wasn't as good. I can understand if they lost 28-14 or something like that, but to lose 35-0 against the team that you are competing against to win that division just tells me that there's a lot more problems in Miami. And Doug, in a weird way, that almost makes me think that maybe they should move on from Tua, because I thought that team was good enough where if Tua just gave them a little, they would be fine and be able to work out. But now if there are other gaps, maybe they need that better quarterback or that star quarterback to fill those gaps on that roster.
You thought it was Mac Jones, right? Because that's sure. What we all say about Mac Jones. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yes,
just be
exactly.
Fine. Just be good. Just be okay. Don't turn the football over. Move it down the field. Occasionally get some points. And the rest will kind of take care of itself. I would agree. That's what everybody thought. And look what's happened. It's surprising. But I said it last year. I was waiting for the wow play, and I didn't see it. I've been waiting this year. It's looked better, but there's still something missing. I think anybody would say there's just something missing there in terms of the wow factor.
And I know Will Fuller didn't play the first 2 weeks, but, you know, you draft Jalen Waddle. He had Devontae Parker, who before Tua came in was actually a pretty good receiver. You've got guys there. Just something's not adding up. Maybe it's defense. Maybe it's the protection that got Tua crushed in week two. But yeah, there's something that's just missing there with the Dolphins, and in a roundabout way, I think that affects Tua's future.
Dan Byer, we'll hear from him in a second with the press. It's Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burris. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burris on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I understand what you're trying to do, Ramos. Okay, but this is a lot like if you're ever in San Diego, people in San Diego don't like Anchorman references. Right?
Jason, tell me the story that you said about this song. That you said, let's go for it, you said.
About my first time hearing this song?
Yeah.
Was when the song came out, Doug, in the late 90s, I was actually in Miami, and this is how long I've been in the business, for Super Bowl 33, John Elway's last game, Falcons and the Broncos.
Epic game. It was phenomenal. That's what you're there for, right?
It was right before him, but yeah, close.
Okay. Was that the old Orange Bowl, or was that at, I guess it was Joe Robbie back then?
It was Joe Robbie, yeah.
Yeah. The new stadium is really cool, what they did to it, you know, where they kind of, it's kind of half covered or whatever. They took out some of the seats to it. I mean, it used to be terrible. And now, because it was multi-purpose, whatever. Now I kind of dig it. It's a good place to watch a football game. Fairly random location. Fairly random. But still, I mean, airport close between both Fort Lauderdale and Miami's airports, kind of like smack dab in the middle. But I think when you go Welcome to Miami, Will Smith song, that gets to the cheesy level.
Well, can I just defend myself for a split second?
Of course.
I think it was more of a song to kind of like, it's a universal type song. So everybody knows that song. If I chose some song that was like really hardcore Miami, that not everybody would know that song, be like, well, what does that mean? This one, everybody knows what it means. I mean,
there's a Jimmy Buffett song, Everybody's Got a Cousin in Miami.
Well, right? that's not play, that wasn't as big as that song.
Okay, you could play LMFAO, right? Don't they have a I'm in Miami B word? That's a song. Right?
You're 0-2 already, yeah, Doug.
What about playing Pitbull? Isn't he synonymous with Miami?
I almost played Florida.
Florida is as well.
Yeah, but I chose that one just because of the universal song. It was a hit. It was, you know, I apologize to Miami if they're offended by that particular song that was a you considered cheesy, but I consider it to be a universal type song.
I don't necessarily consider it cheesy. I think that people in Miami would consider it cheesy.
Okay. Well, I apologize then.
But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if I played like 305 Anthem, which is a Pitbull song.
Yeah.
Like suddenly that you're like, dude, you're trying too hard.
Right.
And maybe at least Ramos is having fun with it.
Thank you.
You know, because it's a, so maybe I'm wrong and you're right.
Possibly.
Or, possibly. Let's get to the press.
The press.
Check out the latest lines in the world of sports at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. Must be 21. Must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What do you got, Ramos?
Buyer.
Oh yeah, it's John's going to do the press.
I'm sorry. What do you got there, Buyer?
Hold on a minute.
I was going to say I broadcast from Fox Sports 940 prior to Super Bowl 54. Yeah, and you mentioned the stadium's location. The radio station is just across the highway. It's pretty close to the stadium. So I just did the Sunday morning Super Bowl preview show from there and then hung out and went over to the stadium and watched the Chiefs come back against the Niners. Good times. Good times at the College Football Playoff Management Committee meeting today. They delayed a vote on a possible 12-team playoff and will meet again in Chicago next week. The group reportedly discussed possible 8 in 12-team formats. Remember back in June, a subcommittee recommended the 12-school playoff. That still could happen, but also an 8-team format was discussed.
I like the 8. I like the idea of you have the five big leagues, all their champions automatically qualify. Then you have 3 at-larges. Here's what it does. What college football has always told us is the regular season matters more than any other regular season. The problem with that is, once you lose 2 games, the regular season doesn't matter anymore, right? It's like, whatever, your season's over. You're playing to keep your job and to go to a decent bowl game. This would make it so that your conference play is what really matters. And I think it would encourage people to continue to play stronger out-of-conference competition in case they're an at-large. But also, it doesn't hurt you if you lose one of those games. You know, we see what you really are in conference. I think that's where they should go is 8. I have a feeling they'll go to 12 because it's so much more money.
Doug, have some NBA news that we didn't hit on during the show today, but a piece from the Times-Picayune in New Orleans did a bit of a profile on David Griffin's tenure as the president of the Pelicans, and it wasn't a glowing review. At one point, the piece said that Griffin and Zion Williamson communicate infrequently, saying that Griffin failed to form a solid relationship with his most important player. Also, when the Last Dance documentary aired last year, some staffers within the Pelicans front office were referring to Griffin as Griff Krause in a group text.
Right.
There's another, like, Krause is like any boss that's slightly heavy and, you know, didn't play in the league. That's what they, because that's, remember what Aaron Rodgers said about Brian Gutekunst, right? As he called him Jerry Krause.
Right.
Not much. And Zion's got the opportunity next summer to sign that extension with the Pelicans.
Right.
Which he will. The question will be, will he then, you know, try and do what everybody's doing, which is force their way out even under their new contract? Or does he force them to change general managers? Could happen. Also, he's got to get better. He was in better shape this past season. Now he's got to continue to hone, actually have a jump shot.
Timberwolves today fired president of basketball ops Gerson Rosas less than a week before training camp begins.
Seems odd, right?
Yes.
Seems like there's got to be more to it, you would think.
Warriors owner Joe Lacob fined $50,000 for tampering comments made about Ben Simmons. Fined $50,000 for tampering because of his Ben Simmons comments.
It's over,
but
Johnny.
His comments are basically, we don't want him.
It's over, yeah. Johnny.
Yes. Yes, but I don't really, still can't
he's
talk.
Like, he doesn't really fit what we're trying to do here. That's like you get fined for saying we don't want a guy?
Well, don't you think that Doc is trying to give them some sort of leverage and trying to get something, like, you know, making up his? Maybe the NBA felt that it was hurting the leverage, saying, hey, the Warriors are out of the mix. That now there's only a few other teams that could be interested.
Yay.
Or maybe it was Lacob trying to lower the offer even more by saying they weren't interested.
Dum, dum, dum. That's pretty cool.
Or maybe He just doesn't fit what they're doing.
Yeah, that could be it. That could be it as well. News from the NFL. Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown placed on the reserve COVID list.
Roger that.
Don't know his status for their game against the Rams. Rams head coach Sean McVay not at practice today because he was ill. McVay, though, tested negative for COVID-19.
Okay, so here's how it works. Antonio Brown is vaccinated, so he has to have two negative tests before he can return. But there's no real timeline or whatever. It's a quick turnaround to get him ready for the Rams game, but that's really the difference there. Whereas if he was unvaccinated, tested positive, no chance of him playing this week, and likely he doesn't play next week. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
What's the Thursday? I don't even know what the Thursday night game is tomorrow.
Panthers-Texans. The Davis Mills era begins in Houston.
I still haven't. No one's told me a black man named Davis. I looked. I scoured the internet last night. That is a name that you have to be white apparently to have. I'm some tongue planted firmly in cheek. But we'll get to see Sam Darnold play, and maybe they go to 3-0. All right, back tomorrow on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.